You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
My name is Brian Foster.
Everything you know is wrong. Got that?
Now, the reason that I'm calling is because I have begun to suspect you don't have any ladybugs in your freezer.
Hey guys, Roy here. So about your car?
The darkness was never empty.
There's this presence in my head.
But I'm pretty sure that the book was confiscated by cats.
You're damn right we find a lot of bodies when Foster is around.
And some people call me the Night Blogger.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, and yes, I am alive. Many hours later, almost 12 hours later, when I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, in which I was running a fever of 101, and yet here I am doing a podcast on Friday the 13th, and also I'm doing this outside, because I still feel a little ill. Basically, I've been dealing with this since last week with my congestion, and now I feel like I'm going through a second round of cold, even though I just got a flu shot last week, so I'm like, what the hell's going on? But still, I'm able to get this podcast done today, and that's all that matters. So, a couple of things. Let's talk about, or rather not talk about, the new Star Wars trailer. Yes, it came out over the weekend, and no. Wow, it's really quite blustery out here. I will not be talking about the new Star Wars trailer. So, I've been doing really good to basically avoid any type of spoiler coverage or any news, just because I don't want to see any more footage. I am going to see it regardless, so it already has my money. But on the same token, there's news that came out that the new Avengers 3, the one with Thanos, the one we've been waiting for all these years, is going to be released sometime this year. So, my thinking is, when are you going to have the best coverage, the best time to drop something like this? Not before Star Wars. Why? Because Disney owns it, as well as Marvel. So if anything, maybe my suspicion would be, let's put it with Star Wars, Last Jedi. If that's the case, wow, you really are raising the bar with my expectation to have something to look forward to next year, as well as then going into the new Star Wars movie. So that's my feeling. I don't think they're going to drop the trailer before then, because you don't want to have any less attention on Star Wars. You're focusing now on Star Wars. Thor Ragnarok will be coming out in a couple of weeks, so it makes sense not to push it until much later. So either on the day of when Star Wars comes out or afterwards. But it'll, again, be sometime later this year that we should be getting that trailer. So I'm kind of excited about that. Now, a follow-up from last week. As I talked about, my kids and I went to McDonald's, the limited quantity of the Szechuan sauce is and was a major debacle for McDonald's, because unlike my site, which there were no fights, The police were not called out. Other locations had to have the police called out because there were fights breaking out. So, luckily for me, and for all us fans, McDonald's is making it up to us. Oh, now it's raining. So McDonald's is making it up to all of us that it is going to re-release the Szechuan sauce. And not just for like a limited time only, like for a day or a couple hours or limited stores. But they're going to do this the right way. Here comes the rain again, falling on my brain like a memory, falling on my hand like a new emotion. So enough of the karaoke right now. Let's move on to the big three topics. And actually, oddly enough, it's going to be like the Star Wars versus Star Trek discussion that I've had in the past about which franchise is better. But in this case, we're going to be talking about Disney and Universal. So the latest word from Universal is that they're looking to bring some type of Star Trek land exhibition to replace basically the Terminator. So I'm getting soaking wet. Just don't stop blowing on me. Alright, so I'm still moving on with the podcast despite it raining. And despite me getting wet. It's fine. It's quite dreary, but it's fine. So let's move on to the Star Wars, Star Trek situation. Disney has Star Wars, and we know that Star Wars Land is coming out next year. And we also know now that Universal has to up their game. Because even though they have Harry Potter, that's all grand and fun. And they have Volcano Bay, which is a water park, what they do for Disney to compete on that level. They need to expand that park, the first park, Universal, to compete basically against Disney, because Disney has Star Wars. So what better franchise? Let's put Star Trek there. Which, it's not the first time we've ever had Star Trek at Universal. If you're old enough to remember, back in the, I think, late 80s, they had a Star Trek experience in which you can interact, sort of, with the cast of the original series, in which you get to play a part, you say the lines to the captain's chair, and then they intercut that with footage from previous movies. And then you pay for whatever video, $29.99 or whatever it is, to take home. So, oddly enough, back before I met my wife, her mother actually did this experience, and when we started dating, she showed me the tape. Very funny. Very funny. And of course, I did it too, but not as funny. It's more like, my acting skills are not up to chop and up to snuff on top of that. But, again, this is not the first time that this is not unheard of with Universal and Paramount. So, what's interesting to boot is that the fact that you also had a new movie that's being rumored. And we talked about this, but the new movie is going to be somewhere. It's regarding the return of Kirk's dad, Chris Hemsworth, who died in the first 2009 movie for the Kelvin timeline. So, if that's the case, and it seemed like at one point it was being stalled. Alright, so let's try this again from the inside. And of course, the minute I get inside, what happens? It stops raining. So, if you know Florida or rainy weather in Miami, This is the kind of crap I had to deal with. Merlin. Oh my god, Merlin. And I have a cat jumping around me. I get no respect around here. Alright. God, I need to finish this podcast before it kills me. Alright. So let's go back a bit and try to do this the right way. We have Star Trek Land Exhibit, whatever you want to call it, coming to Universal. We're looking at that sometime in 2019. And again, it's going to be replacing older exhibits like they've done in the past, like with T2 and Minions. So they have to kind of combat what Disney is doing with Star Wars Land. So the other thing is that because this seems to be implying that we're going to then finally get a new Star Trek movie. And for God's sakes, JJ, don't direct this. Please do not come back. I do not want you to come back to do this. Anyone, do not come back, JJ. I'm telling you now. Is that the latest storyline was, we're going to get Chris Hemsworth coming back to reprise his role as Kirk's dad. But is that still going to happen? The returns on Star Trek Beyond weren't that spectacular, although it is much better than Star Trek Into Darkness. And the only reason why Into Darkness made money was because of the success of the first Star Trek movie in 2009. So the expectation going in was that everyone wanted to see Star Trek. And unfortunately, you got Into Darkness. So, yeah, you made money, but it wasn't kind of like the good money. It's dirty money, because you fooled us thinking that we're going to get something good. So, but again, Star Trek Beyond, much better. Not great, but much, much better than the second one. So, with that, unfortunately, because there was less of a box office success with that, that seemed to put everything on hold. But now, the idea then is you have to have a property that's going to be coming out in conjunction with what you have on your amusement park. Hence why, with Disney, and I'm going to be kind of going back and forth because this is the second bit that I'll be talking about, is that Star Wars Land is coming out in 2018. And just to go back even a little bit further, Animal Kingdom in Disney, I think it was the last park that was built, has Avatar Land. And if you know in the news, Avatar, with an S, is in production. So we're getting, what, 4 films that are being filmed right now? So with that, at least then they have an audience that would want to be part of that movie experience in the park. And with Star Wars, with those movies coming out every year, you want to have people experience what it's like to be in those movies because of the movies, and plus you go to the park. So Universal, even though it has rides that are themed movie rides, I think the problem lies is that it's become quite stagnant. I'm kind of tired of the motion ride that you're all in this theater and you're sitting in seats and you're on this space trip. It's kind of like the Star Tours, but on a much grander scale. I, for me, would want to be immersed, like what they've done with Avatar, which I have not seen, but from the videos that I've seen, looks fantastic. Star Wars Land looks fantastic. And when they get that damn hotel built that's only open for a limited time, that's also amazing. Disney has kind of upped the game now. And even though it's not in the park per se, if you're from Orlando or go to Orlando on a regular basis, you know that Disney has a separate park that was referred to as Downtown Disney, which is now Disney Springs. A lot of the cool things, a lot of the stores they have up there are nice, free entertainment. But now they put something new in, which is referred to as Star Wars Secret of the Empire, in which this is kind of more of an upscale VR game. You have a backpack, you have VR glasses, and you have, I guess, whatever sensors on your hands. And you're going to be playing with other people in your group, immersed in a room, and you're going to have the goggles on, and you're going to experience a whole new level of playing. And from what I've read, it's literally $30 per person for 30 minutes. So, $1 a minute. What can you get for $1 for a minute? Not much. But for 30 minutes, maybe. That might be interesting. The video looks very impressive. The real test would be for me, whenever I do go, to experience that and for me not to throw up. Because any type of VR situation, because of the research that I've been doing, your eyes are going to be adjusting for stuff there in the distance, right? So you're fine with that. But the minute you put on the glasses are tricking your eyes to thinking that what you're looking as far is not. It's really close. But then that's where you get that motion sickness and the equilibrium in your head being screwed, because your eyes know that's not far, even though it's real close, but in your head, you're trying to believe that's what it is. So, that's my concern, is about that enclosed environment. When Disney did something called Disney Quest, in which it was a building that housed, I think, at least 4, 5, 6 floors of games, and they also had VR games and VR rides, too. And again, I'm okay to a certain point to have the headsets on, but I was very sensitive to that, and after a while, I'm like, I can't do anything. I'm just going to sit over there and watch you guys. Is Universal going to do something on that level to compete against Disney on that side? I don't know. I mean, it only helps benefits us as fans to have this type of competition for our money and for our time. Now, again, being a Star Trek fan and done that Star Trek experience and video, it's almost embarrassing at times, but I would like to have something a little bit more elaborate than that. Again, I don't want to see another motion ride that I'm flying along with the Enterprise or Discovery or whatever it is you want to do for that land. I would actually like to have future tech a la Star Trek. That, to me, I think would make sense to do. If you're going to invest the time, build it out. Make it like you do with Harry Potter. And it only makes sense. Now, again, Disney is coming out with their stuff in loads. So I'm looking forward to the point where when I get my Disney Pass, I will be going to Disney a lot more. I'm not saying because I'm a big Star Wars fan. I love both Star Wars and Star Trek equally. But man, I love going to the Hollywood studios when there was Star Wars weekends. I did that with Gene, and I did that with my wife and family. It was a great time. I want to have more of that experience. Not just, you know, with a ride, but other experiences like that. So, Universal has to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. Or direct to Gino, if you want to be Klingon about it. See? The other thing, too, thank you for this, Gene, is that he told me, and I looked it up, too, is that Voodoo Donuts is coming to Universal. So, the only thing that I know about Voodoo Donuts, aside from the one maple bacon donut that I know they do, plus a slew of other donuts, is that they're actually going to be brought over from the West Coast. The only thing we have here in Miami is something called Mojo Donuts, and there's a whole host of other donuts down in an area called Wynwood, which it's still too far for me to go to. But I'm excited about that aspect because I love sweets. And the more extravagant the sweet, like with the different donuts they do, like there's a Voodoo Donut that you can stab it in the heart and it bleeds jelly. I'm like, I want that. I want to have a good time with food like that. So that's exciting. And I'm saying that doesn't do anything like that. But, you know, it's not the exact same level. So again, when you talk about marketing and you have similar products or similar services, how do you distinguish yourself from the competition? That is the number one rule about marketing. What do you do that stands apart from everyone else? And honestly, it's just one going back to the other. What are you doing? I'll do that too. What are you doing? I'll do that too. So we're going this back and forth ping pong thing, back and forth between the two parks. It's good for us, but again, you're going to be divided as to now, well, do I do Star Wars or do Star Trek? Well, I'll do Star Wars one day, I'll do Star Trek another. But right now, it will be Star Wars. So, sad to say about that. All right, so moving on to the last point, and this one is, all right, fine, we'll do this. Settlers of Catan is being proposed into a new movie. So, like many other game properties, especially video games, which have a bad record of being successful on the big screen, games are a little bit hit and miss. Notably, would be like Battleship. But I've grown to appreciate how crappy Battleship is and still enjoy it for what it is. Because the gameplay is not necessarily the exact same moments that I would have. But I was entertained. I was really happy with it. Clue is probably one of my favorite movies just because of the cleverness of the multiple endings that they shot. And when they released it, you would have to pick which movie theater, A, B, C, or D, if I remember, I think there was four versions of it, in which the ending were different conclusions. And of course, when it came on DVD, you saw all the endings together. So, but back then, that was kind of interesting. So, but with Settlers of Catan, and I've never played that game, but I played other games, and I had to thank Nora and John for reminding me what the hell the games we played. But History of the World and Blackbeard are a couple of games that we played. I also remember playing a Dune board game way back when, which I actually won because I was the Fremen, of course, duh. And then recently, you know, doing the Dungeons and Dragons over the summer, I think it makes sense to do properties that people are familiar with, but then what's the draw to the novice, those who don't know that game? I have no idea other than I know Settlers of Catan or is a really popular board game and has sold millions around the world. But that's about it. So I don't know if that's going to give me the... I'm not sure that's going to make me say, oh, I want to now play that game. Because if you go thinking, well, that's the way the gameplay should feel when I play the game, right? Well, again, going back to Battleship, I play Battleship with my son or whoever's my competition. I don't need to see a bunch of old sailors coming by and helping me fight the aliens, you know, in that version of the game. You know, you don't see Trouble the game or Operation the game. So I think that if you can find it an angle and make it clever like Legos, who would have thunk that Legos of all things would be probably one of the best examples of taking a property and doing something completely different and unexpected and original that I was like, it's hard to really do that with anything else. But after seeing Legos, I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense because of the story in the context of all of this, it makes perfect sense. to have a kid's imagination build this world and have his father be part of the storyline. And it's amazing. So the question is, how do you put in those aspects of Settlers of Catan other than game pieces or other than the gameplay? Again, that's really hard. That is really hard to come across. But hey, I think we're done with the 80s as far as movies to capitalize and resurging on remakes. So let's go back to something else. Let's do game boards. So I don't know. But in any case, I'll keep an eye out to see what goes on with Settlers of Catan. And maybe, and time goes on, if I do play it, I'll let you know what I think of it. But I think whatever experience you have playing the various games that I just mentioned, it will be hard to capture those moments, that enjoyment of the interaction with each other, than you would have with a two-dimensional screen. So I think it has to really do something clever and original like Legos. But again, I don't think Settlers of Catan are, it's really on that even same level. So if you have played it, please, I would love to hear from you, to hear what your thoughts are about the gameplay. And does it merit even the consideration to be made into a movie? Again, I question it. But hey, I could be wrong, and I would love to be proven wrong. All right, so that's it. The sun's out. My feet are still wet. And the podcast is over. So on that note, you can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. So thank you for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.